Welcome back. It's a Monday, the fifth day of February 2024. I'm your host, Mark Call. And yes, folks, there is a whole, and I'll say it this way because that's where we're headed, a whole hell of a lot of information and news to talk about this morning. As I'm sure you've already heard, the Biden Fuhrer, or those pulling his puppet strings, obviously, decided to go ahead and try to up the ante in World War III. Let's attack Iran and Syria, and no doubt about it, more to come. Perhaps the only good news on that front is no nukes yet, but they'll keep trying. But the news that really got my attention, and there were several stories, a matter of fact, a whole lot of them vying for the number one leadoff slot today. So many candidates to set the tone, but ultimately they all have one really important, really undeniable thing in common. They are in your face, slap you right across the teeth, indications that the deep state and the traitors that support it, and that's a whole hell of a lot of them, folks, are not only all on the same page, they don't care if you know who they are and what they're up to. And it turns out it's obviously not just hubris. It's more like they're double dog daring you. You know what I intend to do, and you ain't going to be able to stop me. Yeah, as George Carlin said, there's a big club and you ain't in it. But not only that, if you're not in the club, they want you dead. And they don't care if you know that, too. So I'm going to start with the most obvious story and then work my way up to the one that otherwise would have led off today. And the reason why I'm saving it is because it's so subtle that we need to spend a bit more time on it. First, this one from the traitors, and I use that term, well, probably as an understatement, masquerading as senators that have come up with a so-called bipartisan agreement. And you know what that means. The Uniparty has both wings of that evil bird of prey flapping in unison. And let me just go with zero hedges coverage because it's probably the closest thing to a halfway balance. Now that the House has gone full Israel or bust, the Senate and the traitors that run that body have come up with a $118 billion budget-busting bipartisan agreement, which would allow another 1.5 million illegal invaders, gang members, and foreign troops to enter the U.S. each and every single year. That doesn't count the ones that slip through the same way they are now. Allocates $2.3 billion towards NGOs and other organizations which support the treason. How's that for giving away the farm? Gives $14.1 billion in security assistance to Israel. Well, at least somebody there cares about their borders. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget Ukraine. Those borders really matter a hell of a lot more than Texas, Arizona, or New Mexico. $60 billion to the guy that plays piano with his penis in Ukraine. Who says incompetence doesn't pay? And the bill also locks in the green card giveaways, the incentives for the invaders to come on in, pick up your weapons, and go to your cells until 2030. And if you're not angry, folks, there's one simple reason. Either you don't know what's going on or you're simply not paying attention, because this is treason being rubbed in people's faces. And by the way, the guy who gets the credit among the rhinos, one of the worst, Senator Sick James Lankford, sellout from Oklahoma, whose own state legislature censured him last week, but given the 17th Amendment, they couldn't do what they otherwise would have and recalled his ass back to Oklahoma, maybe put him in jail, along with other traitors like Chris Murphy, communist from Connecticut, and Kyrsten Sinema, one of the communists who's there because she stole the election in Arizona. TGP's coverage, by the way, reminds us that the bill was negotiated in secret. Does that surprise you in the least? Between those evil traitors, with support from Senate Majority Leader, the anti-constitutional hero of the far left, Chuckie Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, the traitorous Mitch McConnell, no surprise there, and, of course, representatives, at least, of the double-diapered sock puppet. I do think this is key, too, from the same piece. Speaker Mike Johnson from Louisiana and House Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana posted strongly worded statements denouncing this bit of crapola, while freshman Representative Mike Collins of Georgia expressed his opinion more colorfully, putting it this way, quote, "This bill is the worst screwing in the Senate since that Dem staffer filmed his porno on Clochabar's desk," unquote. Okay, and maybe that's an understatement. And here's the key. Essentially, the bill allows 5,000 illegals per day into a no longer free country. And isn't that wonderful? 10,000 might have been too much, but the rhinos are happy to say, oh yeah, a little bit of invasion. Maybe we'll allow you to up the percentage that are MS-13 and communist Chinese PLA. It's just fine with us, as long as we continue to get our goodies and have access to the bunkers when the rest of you people get overrun and killed, as they intend to and as we intend to allow. I'll skip the literally traitorous details, but I do think Representative Steve Scalise's comment is apropos. Quote, let me be clear, he said, the Senate border bill will not receive a vote in the House. Here's what the people pushing this deal aren't telling you. It accepts 5,000 illegal immigrants a day and gives automatic work permits to asylum recipients. Literally a magnet, he said, for more illegal immigration. Now, folks, I've used the word treason advisedly several times here, so I do think it's important to turn to the Constitution, because none of these sons of you-know-what that signed off on it ever would, and tell you what it says about this. Article 3, Section 3, quote, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort, unquote. And any questions? Oh, I know. Why hasn't every single lying scumbag who put their hand on a Bible and lied and then voted for this abomination already been arrested and sent to jail awaiting trial for treason? So with that on the table, this is kind of telling. Traitor from Washington, Senator Patty Murray, sick, chair of the Senate House Appropriations Committee, claims that this abomination represents weeks of good faith negotiations, one communist to another, balancing domestic concerns with international aid needs. Said this traitor in a statement, quote, as Ukraine runs low on ammunition to fend off Putin's brutal invasion, to hell with you people in Texas, it is imperative we finally extend our support, unquote. So, yeah, we're going to defend Ukraine's borders to the death of more Americans and to the complete elimination of all of our defensive ammunition. We don't care about that, obviously, or we'd be using it where it mattered. So screw you and the horse you rode in on. The American people can go to hell because we intend to defend anybody else in the world except those who we have a constitutional obligation to. I'm going to take a couple deep breaths here, and then I'll continue. But let's be clear, folks. The United States is bankrupt, dead broke, the dollar is over, stick a fork in it, and these blankety-blankers are basically saying, well, since it's dead anyway, let's just go ahead and open the gates, let the invaders on in, and then when it collapses, people will have a lot worse things to worry about than the fact that their dollar doesn't buy anything from Walmart's empty shelves. I'll pause for now with a couple of comments from Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who, while he's been selling out quite a bit himself lately, at least had the backbone to say no to this monstrosity. Quote, I've seen enough. This bill is even worse than we expected and won't come close to ending the border catastrophe that the, I can't say it, gotta add one word, fake president has created. As the lead Democrat negotiator proclaimed, under this legislation, quote, the border never closes. And he said if this bill reaches the House, it will be dead on arrival, which is about the only good news in here, other than at this point the traitors have self-identified. And while we no doubt have more on that front, folks, and we'll continue to, I want to change gears, but not focus, because this is the other story that I think really must get more attention than you know it will, at least until it's too late. From the Communist House of Traitors and the Denver version of the swamp, where, according to Jim Hoft and TGP, the state legislature has introduced a bill that could see and is intended to, be a harbinger of things to come. Don't forget that for a second. It could see a pet tax imposed on every non-livestock animal in the state. Now, I know what you're thinking. These people are obviously already willing to have their kids taxed and even their genitalia cut off. Why are they going to care if somebody comes and taxes or kills Fido and Fluffy? And we register your guns, why not your goldfish? Well, stick with me, folks. You'll see. As George Orwell put it, the future is about a boot stomping a human face in the dirt forever. And putting up with this is a big part of that. But it's even more insidious still. Here's the story. A bill called HB 24-1163, sponsored by evil communist Regina English, requires, Achtung, all pet owners. And you're not an owner, folks, if you have to register them. That's a bald-faced lie. Don't believe that for a second. Let's put it this way. It requires all the slaves that the state declares to be pet guardians to register their animals, well, the state's animals, in a state-run system, with fees that critics are calling exorbitant and unnecessary. Full stop. And did you catch that? The critics, folks, entirely missed the point. It's not about the fees. It's about the fact that if you have to register it, it isn't yours. And guess what? Neither is your body, as you're going to see. Because remember, slaves can't own anything. It's called the Pet Animal Registration System, and the Pet Animal Registration Act stipulates annual registration for pets with a sliding scale of fees that seem to punish those without the means to pay. And don't worry, they're intended to be the first to starve. pets are just a step along the way. I'll come back to the ridiculous, asinine, in-your-face, insulting fees in just a second. Remember, those aren't the real point. The real point is getting the foot in the door and recognizing that you're a slave, you don't get to own anything, and if we allow you the privilege, you peon you, of maybe keeping a goldfish, we're going to tax the hell out of it, because once you can't afford to eat, and we force you to eat grubs and mealworms, we don't want you to have so much as a goldfish to even think about. However, U.S. ARC, quoted in the story, says that the burden on a family under this bill that have 100 fish in an aquarium could cost the owners, sick, up to $2,500 a year without jumping through all the right hoops. And if you don't like that, they're going to fine you. Unaware pet owners, sick, with unregistered aquarium fish could face fines up to $10,000, for example. Because the Department of Agriculture, SIC, tasked with creating and maintaining the designated online pet animal registration system, allows for fines of up to $100 per unregistered animal. Even a kid's ant farm doesn't escape Big Brother's notice. And hint, you can't afford that for sure. Here's part of the crux of the story, and also, folks, part of the intended cover-up. The state's overreach, says Jim Hoff for TGP, into private lives with this anti-constitutional abomination of a registration system has pet owners questioning the true motives behind the bill. Ah, come on.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Mrs. Blue.
I guess.
But this goes way beyond stupid, folks, and it even goes way beyond evil. It's so in your face that it's intended, I will suggest, as a deliberate slap across the jaw. Because if you'll put up with this, and they already own your kids, you're not merely a slave. You're literally dead already.
But that's not what's worrying me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately, or you hurt the staff.
Yeah, Toto, you better run. You know the Wicked Witch would have loved this. The bill claims that it's about providing pets with designated caregivers during emergencies. Maybe they're afraid that you'll eat your pets when you can't provide food for your kids. And honestly, folks, I would trust the Wicked Witch of the West with my dog before I would Democrat Regina English. Which leads me to the place where I part big-time company with even the critics here. There's a hearing set for February 22nd, it says, at the state capitol. Opponents of the bill are gearing up for a battle. They argue that this bill is a thinly veiled attempt at revenue collection rather than a genuine effort to improve animal welfare. 0 for 2. It's about controlling and letting you know who's boss and who doesn't have any rights whatsoever. Because, claim critics, by imposing this pet tax, Colorado's setting a precedent, well, that part at least is true, that animal companionship is a luxury afforded only to those willing to pay for government surveillance of their furry friends. And later, of course, folks, you'd better have a good socialist credit score and be, well, taking all the right marks. Or guess what? You're not going to be allowed to have anything. Especially a dog that might defend you against the invading hordes that are intended to come too. Once they shut the power off, they don't even want you to have a barking alarm, it would seem. And now let me ask the obvious question that I hope literally everybody who's been paying attention and watching the sequence of tyranny here play out ought to be thinking ahead to. How long until these same deep state scumbags decide you won't be allowed to buy dog food or cat food or hamster food or fish food without having the proper registration? Duh. Remember, folks, and it's happening now, don't kid yourselves, when old folks who couldn't afford hamburger or even rice and beans decided cat food looks pretty good compared to the alternatives, and they were eating it? Well, guess what? I'm going to head that one off at the pass. Jawohl, you will eat bugs until you will like it, until you will have no alternative, not cat food or even a cat to eat. The bill summary, among other abominations, declares that it requires the commissioner of the Department of Agriculture to develop, implement, and maintain an online pet animal registration system. Oh, quick aside, folks, note that they will register livestock long before they implement this, done already in most communist jurisdictions. What that means, of course, is that if they declare your chickens to be substandard, they can come and do exactly what they've been doing, kill them all and bury them in a ditch. And the same thing goes for your cows or your goats or any other animal that is registered as livestock. Don't think that the purpose is anything else, even though, as you know, they continue to lie. Because the intent is that when the hammer drops, and you can see it on the rise now, you will have no alternative. Back to the text from hell here. The bill also requires a pet animal owner, sick, to designate a caregiver for the owner's sick pet animal, who is responsible for care and safekeeping during an emergency and must agree to be responsible for the pet animal. The bill also specifies that to own or think you are allowed to have the privilege of being a guardian of the pet animal without registering so-called pet animal, or if you refuse, you slave you, or fail to comply with the provisions of the bill, or if you make a material misstatement, you slave you in a registration application or a registration renewal application, or if you make a misstatement to the Department of Agriculture, or if you refuse to comply with the rules and regulations developed by the commissioner, that is unlawful and you will be punished. The unlawful act is punishable, and I'm quoting, by a civil penalty, an amount set by the commissioner, but not to exceed $100 per unlawful act. And in the case of an aquarium, folks, that might set you back a bit. It's intended to. You slaves must know who you serve. And don't you forget it. And if the commissioner is unable to collect the civil penalty, we have ways of making you pay. So, folks, why do I think this is so important? I've spent quite a bit of time on it. Why is it such a sign of the times? Well, you've heard the term the Overton window. This is certainly an attempt to move the Overton window and condition people even more to the fact that you slaves, you can't even own a dog without our permission. And if you don't like it, we'll come and take him away. Oh, yeah, right after we take your guns, because we don't want you defending your life or your dogs with anything that you slaves aren't allowed to have, don't you know? And therein lies the rub, folks. They're telegraphing their moves. And at least for now, I have hope that if people might let their kids have their breasts cut off or their genitalia removed, maybe, just maybe, they'll draw the line when it comes to taking their dog. I can't help but think the rationale goes something like this. Well, I won't let my kid be injected with the Zyklon B. Oh, well, okay, maybe if it's a requirement to put him into the public indoctrination centers, I'll go along with it. But if they go the next step and actually do detach some part of his body, then maybe I'll speak up. But that won't happen, will it? The neighbor's kid? Oh, yeah. Well, I see that little Billy has become little Janie, and my kid's had a skull and crossbones tattooed on his forehead, thinks transgenderism should be subsidized, and did kill one of the neighbor's chickens after he saw it exhale some carbon dioxide. But when they come and take little Fifi, I may have to seriously consider being upset about it. After all, that's why I registered her, right? Well, after all that, a bit of good news, maybe not exactly the kind you were expecting. The We the People Take Our Border Back convoy, a significant movement, says TGP's coverage, advocating for an actual border in the United States, reached its final destination along the U.S.-Mexico border on Friday into Saturday in several border states. They held some rallies, did some interviews, and in general, perhaps surprisingly, things were very peaceful. And for that, I do give credit to the organizers and the law enforcement that helped them out along the way. I didn't see any word in any of the stories, folks, about how big it actually was. I suspect it was certainly smaller than the organizers had hoped, largely because of the negative publicity and fear of agent provocateurs, false flags, and potential false arrests and persecution. No doubt that dampening effect was real and had the desired effect. But the good news is Big Brother also wasn't successful at fomenting a riot or an escalation in Civil War 2.0. Peace prevailed, and a lot of people had a good time. Uh-oh. No wonder you're not hearing about it. From there, we'll go on to a couple of headlines that also tell different parts of the story. For example, from Michigan, again via TGP, this time Patty McMurray, it's important to point out that in that state, at least it used to be, double voting was considered to be a felony. Michigan officials even reminded voters they can only vote once or face prosecution. Well, unless, obviously, they vote for the right people. They include the video of the Soros types that are pushing the propaganda and the double standards here. Useful idiots, or worse, like the crooked Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, and Attorney General, Dana Nessel. The funny thing is, evidence provided by the state of Michigan reveals literally hundreds of individuals did cast more than one vote under the same voter ID, including elections in 2020, 2022, and most recently 2023, and no one has been prosecuted. No surprise. TGP goes on at some length to point out the degree of fraud and hypocrisy here, noting that Check My Vote, an all-volunteer organization, explained how easy it was for them to find literally hundreds of voter IDs used more than once to vote in the 2020, 2022, and most recently again 2023 elections. They only had to enter six lines of code, and within 1 minute, the computer showed hundreds of duplicate voters on Michigan's QVF, or Qualified Voter Files, created by the very same Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson's Bureau of Elections sick office. And given all the videos that you may have seen, even of mules dropping off stacks of ballots at drop boxes in places like Detroit,
these aren't the droids you're looking for.
It's fair to ask, says the author here, will independent voter integrity groups like CMV, as well as the Michigan GOP election integrity experts under the direction of Phil O'Halloran and PIME, be able to identify and correct the voter rolls before the next round of fraud, coming up real soon now? You know the answer. Not if the Soros puppets have anything to say about it. And sadly, they do. From there, this item. Let's call it a word to the wise. In a recent appearance on Real Time with Bill Maher, the leftist who occasionally gets it right, but basically is still carrying water for tyranny, an activist and rapper called Killer Mike, a.k.a. Michael Render, made headlines by refusing to endorse the Biden Fuhrer for re-election in the upcoming race against President Donald Trump. During the conversation, Mayor repeatedly pressed Killer Mike about his opinion on the election. And rather than caving in and saying, oh yeah, gotta love Joe, Killer Mike stressed the need for voters to focus on policies that will impact future generations rather than getting caught up in the cult of personality, he said, that often surrounds political figures. Quote, pick your policy, not your person, he advised, urging the public to pay attention to the policies endorsed by all candidates, including those that might be considered long shots. So, persisted Mayor, that means you are for, well, answered Killer Mike, that means I'm for black people and happy Black History Month. But Mayor pressed on, pushing him to choose a side between Biden and Trump. And, says TGP's coverage, Killer Mike skillfully navigated away from a direct endorsement and remained neutral while still expressing his preference for the policies of communist Bernie Sanders, whom he previously supported. This time he said, I'm going to keep my mouth closed. But Mayor wasn't giving up. Can't you get yourself to say, vote for Biden over Trump, unquote? And the answer in short was, no, he wouldn't. And guess what, folks? Just 2 days later, after winning 3 Grammys at the CryptoComma Arena in Los Angeles, Killer Mike was arrested for a misdemeanor. But at least the message seems to have been sent. But not to worry, folks. Sources said it's not at all what it looks like. Oh, yeah, and speaking of the Satanic Awards, the Grammy Awards, they continue to promote Satan again this year. Jim Hoff notes that in 2022, they went full satanic ritual when Lil Nas paraded on the stage with demonic photos on the screen and men dressed in black robes. The crowd loved it. In 2023, Sam Smith headlined the Grammys with another satanic performance, performing the song Unholy at the Grammys. In a satanic-themed spectacle later confirmed to be a public worship service for Satan, but last night at the 2024 Grammy Awards, singer Olivia Rodrigo performed another satanic-themed song to the delight of the crowd. She started off by rubbing blood all over herself, including her face, while singing about a demon vampire sucking her blood, whereupon blood starts pouring out of the wall behind her. And I guess, folks, when it comes to an America that's willingly being destroyed from within and from without, that's entertainment. So how do we wrap up today? Well, I saw this story. Speaker Mike Johnson, it says, drops a bomb. Biden is not the one in charge. Oh, come on. Tell me something that isn't painfully obvious. And Biden, he says, claims he doesn't have the authority to take the action to secure the border, which arguably, folks, is true. He doesn't have the authority to decide when his own diaper needs changing. So let's talk about this one instead. Maybe even play a bit of a clip. There's a PBS documentary that is now being outed by the Gateway Pundit, revealing that the January 6th Select Committee was nothing but a publicity stunt meant to manipulate the public. A sham. And maybe that's why they destroyed the evidence, too. It's certainly why they hired former ABC News president James Goldston to choreograph the grand production and to create the propaganda miniseries.
Yeah, I got a call pretty much out of the blue from the January the 6th committee. They wanted a storyteller. And while they were brilliant lawyers, storytelling for a mass audience is not what they do.
Lying certainly is, but when you add the master propagandist, now we got a show. The evil traitor Adam Kinzinger put it this way.
to bring in a guy like this who would think outside the box really did prove to be fruitful. And it was Goldston who really began to envision this as, in a way, a kind of mini-series, that there would be, you know, sort of 9 episodes.
When it came to that first hearing, we knew how high the stakes were.
Is about to hold its first prime-time hearing.
We were either going to, you know, make people realize that this was important, you know, or once you've lost them, you've lost them for good.
Yeah, once they see through the big lie, it's a lot harder to fool them again.
My heart was beating pretty fast on June 9th, and it was a real question of, is this going to work or not?
Well, folks, at least for a while, it did. But have we learned anything or not? May Yahuwah bless you and yours.